tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Yeah. Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope all of you have had a wonderful, blessed week. Every day is a good day when God wakes us up, right? Amen. Another day, another gift. Well, I don't know about all of you, but I'm happy it's Saturday because we can all tune in today and share in fellowship together and listen to what God wants us to hear. Today's message is going to be about the beautiful work of restoration. Before we get started, I always like to start out by saying a little prayer first, and so if you would like to bow your heads at this time, here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing all of us here together today. Thank you for your word. We know the Bible is our one true instruction manual. It is the law and how you want us to live our lives. Thank you for waking us all up today to have another day to do your kingdom work. Thank you for your new grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love today. Heavenly Father, thank you for never giving up on us. Though we fail you daily, thank you for being patient with each one of us. Thank you for your discipline. Though we may not always like it, thank you for it anyway. You discipline because you love us. We need your direction, wisdom, and discernment in our lives. We can do nothing without you. You promise that no matter what, you are consistent and constant in your love for us. Your forgiveness, your grace, and mercy are always sufficient. You promise that you will remain by our side always, even when we sometimes fall away and forget about you. You never forget about us. Heavenly Father, please use me today as a vessel to get your message out to your children. May my heart be softened to what it is that you want me to speak, and may those that are listening today, may their hearts be softened to what you want them to hear, and I pray that you would have them to receive it. We all need rescuing and restoration. You promise that if we repent and tell you that we are sorry for what we have done, pray and ask the petitions of our heart, then it shall be done to us. Father, I pray today that you will start restoring whatever is broken in us. Help us to remember that without you we are nothing. You are the potter, and we are the clay. Let your will for each of our lives be done. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. Thank you all for joining me in that opening prayer. Folks, whether you all will admit it or not, we all are in desperate need of being rescued and restored. We are all broken in some way or another. Some of us are too proud to admit it. Some of us do not even know we are in need of rescue or restoration. Some of us are blind to what we really need. For many of us, we've lost a lot of years of our life being broken. But it is never too late to put the pieces of our broken lives back together. God, out of His great love for each one of us, has made a way for us to return to Him. The Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Some of us have the wrong idea about what it means to be restored. Some of us believe that we are so broken and tarnished that we no longer have any value left in us at all. But I want to share something with you today that I read earlier this week, and it really stood out to me. It had a big impact on me. It really spoke to me. Imagine a famous painter. He created this beautiful masterpiece, and it was worth a lot of money. It was to be sold at an auction for a very high price in a few days. Then, before auction day came, the painter's place was broken into. The people who broke in vandalized this beautiful, valuable painting by slashing its canvas from one corner of the painting diagonally to the other corner of the painting. It had drinks spilled on it. The ones who did this vandalizing, they had stomped on the painting and they had left it muddy and with boot prints all over it. The painter was furious. When the curators discovered what had happened to this magnificent masterpiece, their eyes were so distraught at this once priceless painting that it had been reduced to nothing more than trash. The painting was deemed to be no longer worthy to be on display at that auction. Yet somehow, the painting was still placed in the auction for sale. The reason was unclear, but there it hung. As the auction began, the people could only see the painting in its present form, torn, dirty, hanging limply from a frame that it once proudly filled out. Because of the condition of the painting, people were barely even bidding anything for it. Then all of a sudden, the painter steps out of the crowd. He bids on his own painting for the full value of the painting from before all the damage. It was worth an astronomical amount before the vandalism. Silence fell over the room. The auctioneer's gavel went down and the auctioneer sounded and loudly said, "Sold!" The painter came forward, claimed his painting back, and walked out of the room. As the painter gazed at his once masterpiece, his heart was filled with fury and sorrow. His life's work reduced to trash by some cruel and callous, unkind act of someone who did not see its value. The painter was not blind to the slashed canvas, ground in the mud, the odor of the drink that had been spilled on it. But in his mind's eye, he could still see the painting in its original glory. The painter began to painstakingly restore the painting, weaving together its slashed parts. It wasn't perfect. You could still see a crease, much like a scar, where once it had been immaculate. The painter cleaned the mud off of it, and where the paint had been distorted from the drink spilled on it, he matched the hues from his memory and touched it up. After many long, laborious hours, he stood back and he simply smiled. The painter's representative came by one day and stood shoulder to shoulder with him, admiring the restored painting. He told the painter, "I saw your vision, and I was willing to buy your painting and have it restored and give it back to you. But I see now that this painting that you restored yourself is even more beautiful now than when it was first painted. The crease through the painting only seems to bring out the motif of restoration and reconciliation." Friends, this article really touched my heart, and it got me to thinking. Just as this painting, worn, broken down, reduced to look like trash, folks, things are not always as they appear. God sees each one of us in the same light as that painter saw his original creation. When we were born, we were a perfect masterpiece. We were created in God's own image, and then life happened. We may appear like filthy rags from the outside, stinking, dirty, broken. We may seem like we aren't worth much to the eye. Certainly so broken down that society might even think there's nothing worth fixing at all. But praise God, He does not look at us and see any of that. God still sees us in our original form, priceless, beautiful, in His image, so worthy, so valuable. We just need to be dusted off a little bit, pieced back together, polished up, and restored. Because underneath all that yuck, we are still the same person God created, before we were even in our mother's womb. God does not see us in the same way as the world sees us. He makes beauty from ashes. And like that painting, we have been defaced, vandalized by cruel and calloused people, indifferent actions of people. We have been betrayed, sold out, stomped on, tossed in the trash, ran over, our hearts broken, our minds broken. We have been tossed in the storm until we think we might snap from the wind. And it is in this way with people in general. All most others can see, and all we can see of ourselves, are the slashes and the gouges, the footprints, the torn and ragged clothes, the stains, the disfigurement that mar and obscure what was meant to be a masterpiece. However, those are closest to us, they catch glimpses of what the artist, the creator, always intended us to be. Beautiful stroke of the brush here or there, the masterpiece of blended colors. It is with great sadness that we often do not have ears to hear God's elevated words of affirmation that suggest anything resembling the beauty or quality within us that God sees. Oftentimes, we auction ourselves off, out to the highest bidder, just wanting affirmation of some kind, any kind, to be assessed as something valuable. Even if the prices that are offered are insulting and rude, disrespectful, a small pittance in light of what God deems as our true value. Thankfully, God sent His Son, Jesus, into that auction building and, informed by God, given a vision of what the painting, us, was intended to be. God boldly paid the full price for us, for the original painting God created, and silenced every other voice. When God looks at us, He is not aware of what has happened to us, He is not unaware of what has happened to us. But He sees beyond what's happened, and He sees the original masterpiece before all of the destruction. He sees the scars, disfigurements, stains, odors. God sees all of it. And His heart is full of anger and sorrow at what has happened to His masterpiece. Yet that is not all He sees. In His mind's eye, He knows that we each can be restored back and be even more beautiful than before, just like the painter and the masterpiece. If we allow Him to do so, He will painstakingly start recreating us to our original status. Those slashes we thought would leave us hanging limp for the rest of our lives are mended to almost an imperceptible thread. There will always be a scar, but He cleans us up and He polishes us and He goes about making us whole again. A new and improved, better creation and beauty from those ashes. Friends, don't sell yourself short. There is one, the only one, God. Jesus has already fully paid the price in order to restore us. Do not buy into the lies that people try to tell you that the ways your life has been marred, either from other people or at your own hand, have reduced your value to nothing but a cheap piece of trash. God sees what has befallen us, but He also sees what we were always intended to be. The best thing we can do is accept God into our hearts and turn the broken pieces of our life over to Him. Folks, He created us. Who better than to restore us? Do not be disheartened or discouraged if it seems like the restoration process is taking longer than you thought, or you think God is not doing anything at all. Just another empty promise. No. No. Not just an empty promise. God loves you more than you could even imagine. If God promises us something, He is always, always faithful to fulfill His promises. What God wants for you, no man can tear down. We can be rest assured of the fact that God does what He says that only He can do. God does not make trash. You are not trash. You are His beautiful masterpiece, His creation, priceless. No matter what you might think of yourself, God says you are valuable, you are worthy, you are loved, you are beautiful, and you have amazing God-given potential for your life. Do not let anyone make you feel any less than what God knows you are. Father, right now, please let those who have ears to hear this hear the word that the Spirit is speaking. Lord, please hear the word of the Spirit speaking in each one of us. Amen. Praise God for that. Praise God. He is the author of our lives, folks. And it doesn't matter what we think of ourselves or what other people think of us. We need to keep our eyes focused up. Do not look down your nose at yourself, and do not let others do that to you either. Keep your eyes focused on the above, the prize above. God is all we need. For those of you that currently do not know where you stand in terms of God, my prayers are with you. I pray for a divine intervention in your life, a powerful saving that once it's done, you're going to say, "Wow! Wow! There is only one that could have done that." And you're going to give Him all the praise and the glory because you know that there is nothing else out there in this world that could have done what God done for you. There is a world out there today of people seeking something and not knowing exactly what that is. There is a movement going on, a war between good and evil. All of us desperately want restoring. Over and over, a lot of us will cry out, "God, please restore me." Whatever that is, please restore me. Let your face shine upon me so that I might be saved. We all have things in our house that need restoring, but there is not one thing, friends, there is not one thing more important in this world than restoring our own heart. Do not be afraid to get gut level honest with God. He already knows what's in our heart anyway. He's waiting for us to reach out to Him. Ask Him to come into our heart. Tell Him the burdens of our heart. Ask for Him to save us, restore us. We cannot hide from God. He knows what we will do before we even know what we will do. We might be able to hide things from people, even from ourselves, but we cannot hide things from God. And that's a very humbling thought, at least it is for me. Because, you know, have you ever thought about all the thoughts that roam around in your head during the day? And then let's take it to another level. We have some pretty stinking thinking out there sometimes, folks. And we might think that, you know, nobody else is going to know that, you know, nobody else knows what we're thinking, you know, but it doesn't make it any better because God knows. God knows what's in our mind. He knows what's in our heart. And so it doesn't matter if the whole world knows it. God still knows it. We're not pulling anything over His eyes. So what are you thinking right now? Is it something God would approve of or not? Well, guess what? No matter what it is, God already knows. All God wants is a relationship with each one of us. Do you remember the story in the Bible about the prodigal son? Well, the story goes like this for those of you who are not familiar with it. A father had two sons, a younger and an older. The younger son asked for his father's inheritance, and the father granted his son's request. However, the younger son was wasteful and extravagant, squandering his fortune, eventually becoming destitute. The younger son was eventually forced to return home empty-handed and intended to ask his father to accept him back, but just as a servant. He knew he'd done wrong. To the older son's surprise, the younger brother was not scorned by their father, but was welcomed back with celebration. The older son was very upset and refused to take part in that celebration. The father tells the older son, "You are ever with me. Day after day, you are with me, and all that I have is yours. But your younger brother was lost, and now he is found. He has come back to us." And this is a story of redemption, friends. And it applies to us as well. Sometimes we stray off from our Heavenly Father. But if and when we decide to come back in relationship with our Father, there is a glorious celebration, and we are always welcomed back with loving arms. Folks, we are not alone in this world. We have not been cast aside like unwanted, unused garbage. No matter what we have done, no matter how bad we think it is, no matter if we think we are a lost cause, God says, turn around, come back, run into my arms, where I will give you shelter and rest. Folks, there is nothing else or no one else in this world that is going to tell you to unconditionally just turn around, come back to me, run into my arms. All is forgiven. You will find shelter and rest here. We're going to celebrate. You're back home. No one in this world is going to do that for you under unconditional terms. There will be rejoicing and celebrating. The Bible says in Matthew 18:12, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wander away, what will he do? Will he not leave the 99 others on the hill and go out and search for the one that is lost?" That is how important, how valuable each of us are to God. That he would leave his post to find one lost soul and bring them back to the herd, the flock, actually. That is how important we are to God. God has provided a way for each of us to have a new and more enjoyable life. He has counted the cost. He has looked at our present state, but with the master appraisal's eye, has deemed us worthy of being restored. God is our personal restorer. God can help us to overcome feelings of loneliness and stress, fear and hopelessness, and any other negative emotion. God is love. There is no fear in love. Perfect love, in fact, drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Here are a few Bible verses that talk about restoration. 1 Peter 5:10, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope." John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" These are only a few of the Bible verses that talk about restoring in our life. God is not finished with any of us yet. Everybody falls everybody fails. Everybody makes mistakes, but God can fix all of that. If you just allow Him into your life, if you let go of the reins and let go and let God do the mighty work in us, stay out of God's way and just let Him work on His masterpiece. We all have a past. Some of our journeys have been far worse than others. But have faith. God can and will polish you into that beautiful creation again. And the scars will only make you more beautiful. Beauty from ashes. Friends, I'm going to go on a short break right now. I hope you enjoy the music. Go ahead and get yourself some coffee or something else to drink or eat, and then come right back and rejoin me in a few moments. Kick back and listen to the second half of today's show.
I'm
promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. You've never failed me yet, and I never will forget. You've never failed me yet, and I never will forget.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror. And I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar. I can't waste a day. I can't stay the same. I want to be different. I want to be changed. Till all of me is gone. And all that remains is a fire so bright. The whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. And I don't want to spend my life stuck in a pattern. And I don't want to gain this world but lose what matters. So I'm giving up everything because I want to be different. I want to be changed.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. For those of you just tuning in today, I'm happy that you did. The podcast of today's message will be uploaded to the podcast page on www.shazizradio.com later on this afternoon. I hope you will take time to go back and listen to the message in full if you are just tuning in. And as always, for all of you, please share, share, share. Let's get God's word out there to all of His people. We are fighting a mighty battle between good and evil. We need God and each other more now than we ever have. Today's message is about the beautiful work of restoration. How many of you oftentimes have trouble just putting one foot in front of the other some days? How many of you know you are lost in some way, but you haven't the faintest idea how to come back from it? How many of you believe you just aren't worth the trouble anymore, that too much has taken place in your life and things will never be any different for you? How many of you believe that the pieces of your life are so fragmented that nothing could find all of those tiny pieces, let alone put them all back together good as new? In fact, you may not even believe you are worth saving anymore. Friends, that is a lie. God loves you, and God didn't make any trash. Life may have beaten you up and beaten us down, but maybe some of the beating has been done by other people, and yet, you know, some of it may have been done by our own hand. But there is good news. You don't have to keep feeling bad about yourself, feeling like you're a lost cause. That is what Satan wants us to believe about ourselves. He wants to smash down all of our lives, keep us distracted, keep us feeling worthless, and then destroy us so that we cannot find the strength to find God. He wants us to believe that we have done so many bad things that God can't possibly love us anymore. that God has written us off like an old cruddy-looking pair of pants that have been worn so many times and have so many holes in them that they're barely hanging on us. Satan wants us to feel all used up, wasted, abandoned, and thrown to the curb like yesterday's garbage. But God says, don't you believe what Satan says to you. You are always welcome at God's table and in His house. God can indeed restore the lost years of our lives. Listen to me. This is not the end of our story. It is just the beginning. Property can be restored. Broken down cars can be restored. Old houses can be restored. Relationships can be restored. But the one thing that cannot be restored is time. Time flies by and it does not return. Years can pass and we never get them back. Yet God promises the impossible. In Joel 2:25, the Bible tells us that God says, I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. What does lost years look like for you? Lost years are years that we can't get back, and they come in many different varieties. Lost years are fruitless years. We can work hard for so many years, and then something happens, and it all gets taken away from us just like that in the blink of an eye. Something else happens, too. We can lose our way. Lost years are painful years. Perhaps we had big plans for our life, and yet something tragic happened and it changed us. Perhaps we got caught up in the wrong crowd and started behaving like them, and it led us down a very dark and treacherous road. There are lots of variables. We could sit here all day discussing what could have went wrong, and for every individual it would be something different. We were created to be unique. Satan has set up many pitfalls for us, and unfortunately his lies are so easy to believe. And we can be so easily tempted to walk away from God's goodness. Satan knows exactly what we like to hear, and he knows the desires of our heart all too well. But when God means what God means for our good, Satan uses for our demise. Lots of years, lost years, selfish years. Let me tell you a story about a man that we'll call Sam. Sam made a commitment to Christ, but his commitment didn't run deep. Faith in Jesus was merely a slice out of the big pie of his busy life. He filled it with all kinds of things that he wanted, not what God wanted him to fill them with, but selfishly doing so. Then one day, God got a hold of Sam, finally got his attention again. He is spiritually awakened. Sam takes a long look at his life and asks himself, what in the world have I been doing? There is no substance in my life. I really want my life to count again. Look at all the many years I've wasted on being selfish, thinking of only myself and what I wanted. Sam made a vow that day that he wanted to live in the Spirit as he once did. He says to God and himself, I want to make a difference in my life, but the locusts have eaten half of my life. I've wasted my years. Lost years are loveless years, folks. And I'm sure some of you out there know this all too well. A division comes in our life between right and wrong, between God and Satan, between family, friends, and ourselves, alienating loved ones. Maybe we have an addiction to drugs or alcohol. We finally come to a point in our life where we start questioning the things that we've done with our life and to the lives of our loved ones. We may have this terrible, agonizing feeling in our heart for the choices that we've made all those years, but they're behind us. They're gone. We might be sitting out somewhere in the public observing people around us, and we might think to ourselves, wow, that lady or man over there, they seem to have their lives all figured out. Wow, Look over there. Look at that happy family that's just hanging out with their children. Perhaps you just got out of jail and you have no skills, no place to live, no money, and all of your family is just done with you. Maybe they have told you that they don't even want you around them anymore, that you're a bad influence and that you just don't amount to anything anymore. Maybe one day you stop what all you've been doing and you contemplate on the meaning and the purpose of your life. It feels like the years are moving on, and they are. We can never get them back because the locusts have eaten the lost years. Lost years are rebellious years. And for most all of us, we go through a rebellious time in our life. Perhaps we grew up in a Christian family and our life was filled with blessings, abundance, and prosperity. But in our heart, we wanted something else for ourselves. We were not completely happy living that life. Maybe we didn't fully understand the urge that we were having, but we still wanted something else for ourselves. And so we went out on our own, and we went out to seek whatever it was that we thought we were lacking. Little did we know that instead of bringing us pleasure, our rebellion would end up bringing us nothing but pain and sorrow. Now, maybe, as we look back on those foolish, rebellious years, we look on them with years of regret. Lost years are misdirected years. The path we once chose for ourselves, the lies we fell for when Satan whispered in our ear, the years we left God out of our life, are dead years. Nothing seemed to fit in those years. Sometimes we ask ourselves, how did we get here? Perhaps you now spend a lot of time kicking yourself for making some of those choices. Perhaps you often think back about, what if I decided to do this or that instead? What if I had chose a different path? What if I had kept God close in my heart? Folks, the moment is gone, and you and I both know that we can't get those back or retrieve those lost years. So today, we are left with the locust years of our past. The years that have been eaten by whatever we chose to follow instead of God. Folks, are you hearing me out there? Some of you are hearing me loud and clear. I've had my fair share of those locust years too. But it is never too late to make it right with God and to live the rest of your years living with blessings. Lost years are Christless years. In the beginning, when we decided to follow whatever felt good to us, the pursuit of happiness, whatever that was and however it looked like to us, later on, folks, it doesn't look as appealing as it once did because we realize that no matter how hard we pursued our own happiness, that we still always felt lacking in something. The harder we tried to find whatever piece was missing, the more it eluded us. Take, for example, a leaf that flies overhead and lands just in front of us. It's the most beautiful leaf we've ever seen, and we want to pick it up and keep it. But just before we get to it, the wind whisks and picks it up and carries it a little further down the path. And so with eyes focused on the prize, we keep following that leaf, thinking that here before too long, we're going to catch up with it. And we can pick it up and keep it. That the wind will die down and we'll be able to pick it up and take it home with us. But no matter how persistent we are, no matter how far the leaf takes us, no matter how badly we want that beautiful leaf, the leaf disappears, never to be seen again. Sometimes that's the way life works out. We are in pursuit of something that will take us far off the beaten path. We lose sight of God, and we get lost. We need to be rescued, and we need to be restored. God can rescue and restore those lost years of our life. There is hope. Is anyone interested in knowing how God can do this for us? God can restore those lost, selfless years when we hit rock bottom and we finally figure out that our way just isn't working anymore. when we come to realize we are firmly face planted as low as we can go. Folks, all we have to do is tell God, look up to Him and tell Him, Lord, I have spent too many years without You, too many years at a distance from You. Fill my heart back up with love and gratitude in the Spirit of Christ. Let those lost years make my love for Christ greater than ever. Restore me to the years that the locusts have eaten of my life. Folks, God wants communion with us. God can restore lost years by multiplying our fruitfulness. Where we were once a dried up mess of bones, God can restore us. Folks, our fruitful years may have been wiped out for a very long time, but God can restore back to us a bumper crop of fruit for our life. Repent. Tell God you are so sorry for the mess of your life that you have made, and that you are sorry for denying Him for so many years. God is a God of second chances, even third, fourth, and into infinity. That does not mean that you say that you're sorry one day, but that you don't really mean it, and you go out there and you do something purposely stupid tomorrow. That's not what that means. That means that when you say you are sorry to God, that you make every attempt not to make that same mistake again. But if you do, you come before God with true repentance in your heart and try even harder the next time not to disobey God's commandments. The Lord has called all of us to be disciples and to bear much good fruit that will last. We are called to testify to people about the mistakes that we have made and how God has spared us and restored us. We are all called to share of the good things that God has done for us. I have to tell a little story on myself from a long time ago, kind of when I was fairly new in my Christian walk with God. There was a time when I would be out somewhere, or I would be going to maybe the Christian retreats or something down at the lake, and everybody there would be, you know, talking about their testimonies and what God had done for them and the goodness of God and the greatness, and you know, I'd think, wow, that's so awesome, and I'd take something back from them, and I'd go home and I'd be like, wow, what they said really made a difference in my life. Praise God for those folks. And I knew that I, too, needed to speak of my testimony to other people. And I knew that someone else could relate to and receive something from the things that had happened in my life. You know, that someone could, you know, that God would give that other person a blessing from my testimony. But I used to be kind of a little bit of afraid, I guess, to do that. And I was pretty young in my Christian walk. And I've had my fair share of locust years, as I've said before. And I have my fair share of regrets. And I guess I always felt like that if I really shared what had happened to me, that people would somehow look differently at me, look down on me, you know, and that would make a difference in how people would see me for the rest of my life. And it took me a long time to realize, folks, that it doesn't work that way. That's not how God purposes things for our lives and for the lives of others. And it took me a long time to realize that, you know, it doesn't matter what other people think about me. It doesn't matter, you know, if people look down on their noses and say, oh, you're one of those, you know, you did that. Oh, wow, that's way so much worse than I've ever done. No. Stop it right there. If you are one of those that thought the way I used to think, stop that. God calls us all out to testify to other people. You have a story. You have had chapters of your life that have brought you right here, right now, at this place. And your story might help someone else that's in a similar situation, and you don't know how your story will impact another individual. So, there again, stop listening to Satan's lies and stop thinking that, oh, you're just going to make yourself look worse, you know, and that people aren't going to want to be your friend or hang around you because they're like, oh, well, I knew that, but oh, I didn't know that. Wow, okay, well, that's a game changer. No. It doesn't matter what all those other people think, and it took me a long time to realize that as well. You go out there and you testify to as many people as you can testify to, because your life, your testimony could make or break the life of someone else. And so we are all in need of restoring, folks. And God spared us for a reason. So go out there and you speak your testimony to somebody else and help them to spare their lives too. It's all about networking, folks. We are all called to share the good things that God does for us. And once you have been that person, once you may have been that person who needed to hear someone's testimony. You may have been somebody that needed my testimony years ago, and I was too scared to speak out. But all of us need to have a seed planted in our mind. But now perhaps you can be that person to testify to someone else about God's greatness and how far He has brought you out of the depths of despair. And then that person can go out and do the same thing. And by our own testimony, we can help save other lives. Never forget where you've came from or what God has done for you. Always, always, always be in thanksgiving. For now you have been rescued and all and are well on your way to being restored. God can restore the lost years by bringing long-term gain from short-term loss. What you are going to decide to do today, friends? I don't know. What are you going to decide to do today? Are you in desperate need of rescue yourself? Do you want restoration in your life? Then we need God. Stop believing all the lies that Satan and people tell you about how worthless you are. If you were God, if you thought someone was worthless and beyond saving, would you send your only son to die on the cross so that all of your other creation could be reconciled to you? If you thought someone was a lost cause, would you fight so hard to keep them alive, even to the point of giving up your own loved one to keep that other person alive? God knows what He is doing. He knows your worth, even if you don't realize it yet. No one in their right mind would give up something of value for something that didn't have value. Take a look in the mirror and say, I am worth it. 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 God hasn't stopped pursuing us in all of these years. The first step in spiritual restoration is humility. To start the restoration process, we must realize that we are nothing without God. On our own, we are guilty and unworthy to be in His presence. The next step in spiritual restoration is prayer. Prayer is an act of humility. Prayer is not all about presenting God with a list of our desires. God does care about our needs, and He instructs us to put all of our cares on Him. But, however, in prayer, we must write our hearts first. Prayer's primary purpose is to prepare a person to perform the perfect will of God. After we humble ourselves, then we seek to discover what His will is for our lives through prayer. The third step of restoration is communion with God. Seeing God's face is to choose to live in His presence. Prayer is the doorway in which we enter communion, fellowship with God. Scripture instructs us to seek Him continually, and by doing so, we will then discover what God wants us to do with our own lives. Through Scripture, we will find our worth in God. It does not matter what people think. It only matters what God thinks of us. To seek God's face is to walk with God. And the fourth and final step in spiritual restoration that we're going to talk about today is to repent, to turn away from the wicked things that we once did. Repentance is described as a transformation by a renewing of our minds. And in Romans 12:22, the Bible tells us that be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God. These steps are not independent of one another. They must be performed together for them to work. God is big on redemption of His children. For too long, we have been throwing the sons and daughters of God away. We have allowed judgment to win over mercy, rather than the other way around. Friends, we tend to believe that restoration is only for those who stumble. But that is not true. We are all targets of God's perfect restoration. We are all in the middle of His restoration process. No one is perfect, not one of us. We all fall short of the glory of God. We are all a continual work in progress. We are all sick and are in need of a doctor. Our churches are the hospital. God is the ultimate physician. And no one will ever be perfect, no matter how hard we try. So don't feel alone in your predicament, because not any one of us are better off than the other. Perhaps some of us have become a little more ensnared in something that we shouldn't have been, but we are all in need of restoration. God isn't working only on you. He is working on all of us. We need to be there for each other, too. And I believe in the no man left behind policy, and I'm sure you've each heard me speak about this before, but I am really, really big on that. No man left behind. You hear that a lot, that terminology used a lot in schools, no child left behind. But I take it to a different level, and I say no man or woman left behind in this world. If you see someone who has fallen, don't just walk around them like you don't have time or that you didn't see them, or thinking that, well, it's not their fault, it's not my fault, you know, whatever they've done, it's their fault. So, thinking I'm not going to get involved. Someone else will help them sooner or later. Don't keep kicking them like an old mutt on the side of the road. That's the last thing they need. And so, maybe they do have an addiction. Maybe they're homeless, bedraggled, dirty looking, behaving in an extremely unlovable behavior. Maybe they are being disrespectful to you. Maybe they don't have any money, and that you have a few bucks, but you're still not willing to give it up, because then you'll be out too. If you have nothing to offer, which I don't believe for a moment, that at least you can offer them a smile. If you have nothing else, you can at least offer them a smile. Treat someone with the dignity that they deserve. Wouldn't you want that for yourself? I know you don't know their situation. You're only assuming from outward appearances, making judgment on someone. Folks, you cannot always read the book by the cover. I have had so many opportunities to help different ones in so many different ways in my lifetime. And praise God for it. I'm not bragging, because it was God who put those people in my path for a reason to help them. I truly believe you never know what you might be entertaining. You know, sometimes we might be entertaining angels in disguise and not even know it. And what if that's the case? You know, what if God sent down one of His angels to us and we turned our back? Some things I have learned in my years on this earth. Time is an amazing gift that you can give to someone. For those who are truly important to you, even if you don't think you have time, you will make the time for them. If you feel that tug in your heart when you pass someone up holding a sign on the street corner that says, "Give them what you have," but your mind says, "No way, this is all I have for another week." Folks, listen to the tug on your heart. A cheerful giver will never regret trying to help someone. God will multiply what you gave them back to you. Someone will come along and say something like this: "I have a bad tire. Can you help me change it? I'll give you a 20. Guess what? You were fretting over giving them, that man or woman, even the last 10 you had, and wow, look now what God provided for your obedience. Give smiles and hugs when possible. You might be the only smile or hug someone sees or gets that day. Anytime you have a way to brighten someone's day or their burdens for them, then do it. That is the reward. Not getting something back, but seeing the happiness and the hope in someone's eyes that was not there before. Sometimes when you see people panhandling on the street corner, you'll say, "Yeah, right, they're probably going to go buy some drugs with that money or whatever that I give them." Folks, so what? So what? When the money leaves your hands, it becomes a gift to someone else. And what they do with that money is on them. You stepped out in obedience to try and help them. And God knows everything. My husband and I have both worked at jobs where we have had many, many opportunities to help other people. We have taken complete strangers into our life, along with our own full-grown children and small grandchildren. We have witnessed a man laying in the middle of the side of the road on the coldest of days in the wintertime, sleeping with barely a light jacket covering them because they were too tired to keep walking. If we hadn't turned around to see if that person was alive, he could have easily have been ran over and killed where he was laying at, in the middle of a side road. We gave him a few dollars and a ride back to the convenience store where he could stay for a moment or cross the road to McDonald's and get something to eat where it was warm. We probably saved that man's life that night. We have witnessed a dog and an old rugged man kneeling down, hunkering to try to stay warm and dry. Took him a few dollars, and the man broke down in tears, hugging his dog ever closer, saying to his dog, and this tears me up, "We can go home now. We have money to get food." Folks, Shaziz and I have been given so many opportunities. These barely scratch the surface in this life to show God's grace, love, and mercy toward his children. And I am not bragging at this, but I'm merely stating that all of us are given many, many opportunities in our life to help someone else, and we can either choose to help them out of obedience to God, or we can choose to just walk on by and say, "They're not worth it," or, you know, "They're going to spend that money on things that I don't want them to spend it on," or, "Someone else will come along, they'll take care of that person." Folks, that's the wrong idea. You may be entertaining God's angel, and you just blew it. You failed the test. God has always met our needs. We have helped make other people's lives better because God first loved us, and that is what you should be doing. As I said, I'm not bragging about what we've done, but God has brought those people into our lives, or vice versa, brought them into our path, or have brought us into their path. All we did was stepped out in obedience to what God wanted us to do. Be humble when you meet people. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know their circumstances. It is not for us to judge whether or not they are deserving of our help. When God says do it, he means just do it. Whether you are the one that God commands to give someone else or the person who is in need, don't give up your hope and faith in humanity. Listen to God. Do what he says because God is bringing someone your way at the perfect time when you need it. So, I want to go ahead and please join me in a closing prayer now. Dear Heavenly Father, you know our circumstances. You know our struggles, trials, and tribulations. You know our heart. You know we are in need of rescue and being restored. We trust in you. You promise to meet our every need. You promise you will always be with us. Even when we have given up on you, Father, search our heart and break our heart for what breaks yours. Please forgive us of our sins. Come into our lives. Restore us as only you can do. Help us to remember always what you have done for us, and give us the desire in our heart to always pay it forward. Father, help guide us to how to show others the same mercy, grace, love, and forgiveness to others with the same measure that you give us. Father, help us to all be lighthouses for your children out there in need. Help us to shine bright, and that they will know who we belong to by our actions. Father, help us be the light in their darkest hour, and bring your hurting children back to you. And in Jesus' name, and all the people said amen. I'm so glad that all of you have tuned in to listen to God's Word today. Until we meet again, same time, same place, next week, may God bless and watch over each and every one of you and protect you. I love you. And for those of you who celebrate Independence Day, the 4th of July, my prayers are with you folks. Be safe. Remember what Independence Day is all about. Be careful. Love your family. Appreciate those who served before us. Be thankful. So, like I said, be careful, folks, and don't forget the true meaning behind the day. And have fun with your families. Happy Independence Day to you all. I love you.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away, the new has come. Now I have resurrection power, living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness. I'm no